Evening, everybody. I'd like to take my text from Matthew 6:11. Matthew 6:11 reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. I'd like to take that text and preach on a message entitled "Bread of Heaven." Pastor, would you please pray?
Our Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we want to have the privilege, Lord, most of all, to come and hear your word, which is holy and righteous and good and true, Lord. But also, Lord, to hear our brother who blesses our soul, Lord. We just ask God that you would, Lord, just speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, as we partake of your word. And God, may it feed us, Lord, to nourish and strengthen us spiritually, Lord, that God, we would be equipped to for every good work.
Amen. In the Old Testament, we're told of the children of Israel. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, which is a type of sin and a type of the world. They came away from everything they had known, and then they were in a barren, desolate place, and they got hungry. And when they got hungry, they cried and complained. But when they went to God with their needs, in Exodus 16, we're told that God opened up heaven and rained down bread from heaven. And it was known as manna. What does manna mean? What is it? I've never seen anything like that. That is so odd and so strange and so unlike anything we have ever seen. It was bread from heaven. And I was looking at this evening, and I was thinking, you know what? The last time I stood here and preached on a Sunday night, I preached about our Father. I didn't do it intentionally, but it's like I'm preaching in sequence, the Lord's Prayer. The children of Israel had a need, and our Father met it. He opened up heaven and he rained down exactly what they need. And while my thoughts were kind of rambling and roaming around this afternoon, I was thinking of all these things. I was thinking an awful lot about this while in the last few nights I've been in church, you know, with Daryl and then down with the Men of Action. And I kind of touched on it. I got ahead of myself a little bit this morning in Sunday school, but know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We're talking about the bread of heaven. The bread of heaven. The bread of heaven is what sustains us. It is what nourishes our soul. It is what gives us what we have need of. And you cannot eat at two tables at the same time. I've said it before. You cannot eat at McDonald's and Burger King. Now, you can buy McDonald's food and take it to Burger King. But what table are you eating at? Burger King. That's right. That's where you're eating. Doesn't matter what you're eating. If you're eating at Burger King, that's where you're eating, right? He's got Burger King cup in his hand. How perfect is that? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to choose what it is that you're going to spend your life doing. I heard this shared, I don't know, I think repeatedly, several people mentioned it, both Thursday and Friday nights. And they said they use different versions of, this is the King James Version, but it says God and wealth. You can't serve God and seek wealth. As, you know, if you're seeking God, God said he'd give you these things. But if you're seeking wealth, you're not seeking God. You ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? When you begin to feel a little bit undernourished, your stomach starts to rumble. Your belly's gnawing on your backbone, as it were. All of a sudden, you're thinking, wow, I really could go for a cheeseburger. I could really go for some cheesecake. Maybe even some broccoli. Depends on what it is that you desire to have or what it is you desire to eat. But you are what you eat. If you eat lots of junk food, if you eat a lot of healthy food, you are what you eat. Psalm 34 and 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. I was speaking this morning in Sunday school. I was talking about being full of God. You're full of God. You have no room to desire the things of the world. But you will not accidentally be filled with God and God's fullness. You have to desire it. You have to pursue it. You have to consume it. You have to allow that portion of God to be your sustenance, to be what it is that you strive for, what it is that nourishes your soul. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." How do we get full of God? How is it that we seek Him? How is it that we draw nourishment from Him? How is it that we consume the bread of heaven? By pulling up to the table. By grabbing your spiritual fork or chopsticks or your fingers. Whatever it is that you feed your face with. And partaking of the bread of life. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in want, they went to their Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father rained down what? Bread from heaven. When Jesus came to this earth, what did He say of Himself? "I am the bread of life. Partake of Me, and you shall have eternal life." I'm going to go to Romans 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Talking about eating of the bread of life. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of law, the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, how does Christ get in you? You consume him. You taste of him. You bring him into your being. He is the bread of life. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are as led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I touched on that last Sunday night that I was here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature that was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for that adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we, with patience, wait for it. Wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Talking about the bread of heaven. And we get to that place where we wonder, why? And we know all things work together for good to them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he also called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Justified. Justified. For what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, oh, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If we are partakers of that bread of heaven, what do we have to fear? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who will also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The bread of heaven. When mankind desperately needed something to sustain and to nourish us, God sent down the bread of life to be there, to be available for us to taste and see that He is good. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. You know, I've always taken this to mean, what wouldn't you give for the kingdom of heaven? What wouldn't you give to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Is there anything that you would withhold or that you would say, I will withhold that? Is there anything, if somebody said, the way to get to heaven is to climb Mount Everest on your knees, how many people would undertake to do it? If people said, the way to manage heaven is to crawl across broken glass, people would try it. But what is it that you would trade for the presence of God in your life? What is it that you would trade for God's presence in your daily life? What is it that you would allow in your life that would come between you and God? Anything that comes between you and God is what? Idolatry. So, the kingdom of heaven is like that pearl of great price that we would go and sell all that we have for. And no, we do not earn salvation. But what will we trade for that presence of God in our life? Talking about the bread of heaven. You know, it's kind of, I had different thoughts about this outline when I started it. Keep it simple, right? Nathan, keep it simple. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof he go and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And when he had found that one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What did God give for the kingdom of heaven? Everything that he had. I think all of my life I've thought, wow, wouldn't it be great just to desire something so greatly that you're willing to give everything for it? And that we seek to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We are the pearl of great price. We are to be the kingdom of heaven. God gave His Son to purchase us. And we are to partake of that heavenly bread. We are to partake of that which has been provided for us. I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 2 and 9. But we see Jesus, the bread of life, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For Nathan. When I find myself in want, when I have that hunger in my soul, what is it that I need? The bread of life. When you partake of it, and I don't mean once and for all, when you partake of it, you receive nourishment. You receive what you have need of for every day of your life. And the message is simple. But getting back to the basics sometimes is needful. Tonight, I just want to tell you, the bread of life is available. Why are we hungry spiritually? Pastor.